Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. This special live teaching on how to receive God's best was recorded at our 2011 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar and is being broadcast exclusively for our radio listeners. And now, here's Andrew.
I didn't have enough money to put antifreeze in the car, and so the block broke. You could see the crack, and the water ran out of the block. And you know, I drove that car for over a year with a cracked block that the water poured out, and I laid hands on it and just prayed, and God kept it going. We saw miracle after miracle happen. We saw food multiply. We saw so many miracles, and I remember when we were getting ready to build our house, I was driving out one morning to feed my horses, and I was praying and saying, God, I haven't seen miracles. I was just reminiscing about how God used to just, I mean, we would get money in the mail with no address on a return envelope and $500 cash in an envelope. And it would just come. And it was miraculous, the things that I could tell you hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of stories. And I was reminiscing about this, and as I was driving out to our property, I was thinking, God, I hadn't seen miracles happen in our life in a decade or two decades. And I was kind of feeling like, what's wrong with me? I used to have a miracle every day to survive. And I was praying, God, is there something wrong? Am I missing something? And he spoke to me, and he says, would you like to go back to those days to where you had to have a miracle to be able to eat? And I said, no, sir, I wouldn't. Thank you. And I began to realize that, you know what, finally I began to learn some things. And when I got so full time in the ministry that now I couldn't work a job and do what God has opened up the door. When you become full time in the ministry, then you can live full time of it. And see, now I'm cooperating with spiritual laws. It says over in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, I believe it's verse 11 or somewhere around there. If you don't work, don't eat. I was violating some spiritual laws, and it wasn't because I didn't like work. I've always been a hard worker. I just thought that to serve God, I couldn't serve God and work a secular job. And because of it, I was violating some spiritual laws, and I had to have a miracle. But I lived from crisis to crisis. Every month, we were on the verge of total disaster. Now, I've learned some things, and you know what? We are blessed, and we've got our house paid for, all of our cars paid for. We owe no man anything, and God has blessed us, and I've tapped into the blessing, and the blessing is permanent. The blessing is more abundant. It prevents crisis. Whereas when I was living from miracle to miracle, every month we had to have a new miracle in order to pay our bills, in order to eat. You know, if you're listening, I could be answering questions for some of you. That you're wondering why it seems like you're always on the verge of having a crisis and something's happening. It's because you aren't cooperating with either spiritual or natural law. There's a reason. And for you to operate in the blessing of God, you're going to have to start conforming to these things to see the blessing of God come. Otherwise, God loves you, and if you get into a crisis situation, He will provide you with a miracle, but a miracle is never as abundant. You have to have a crisis first, then it's only temporary. God is not going to let you live long-term by miracles, and you are going to have to eventually step over into the blessings of God to have things consistent in your life. Amen. Turn over to, Numbers chapters? I just had a blank. Maybe it's Exodus chapter 13. Let's look over here. See if I can find where the manna came. I think this is what, Exodus chapter 13? Does anybody know? Exodus 13 is where the manna first came. Nope, couldn't be Exodus 13. That's where they came out of. Anyway, Exodus 16. So in Exodus chapter 16 is where the manna came. And the reason I'm bringing this out is because this is an absolute miracle. Every morning, there would be just this manna appear. And I've had some people try and explain this. You know, there's a lot of people that just will not believe that miracles take place. They try and explain everything naturally. And I've actually read commentaries where they believe this was the secretion of some beetle. I don't believe this was the secretion of some beetle. For one thing, it came 6 days a week. And then on the seventh day, it wasn't there. Do those beetles not secrete anything on the seventh day? And if you gathered more than the prescribed amount, it would rot and breed worms. But on the sixth day, there would be twice as much manna as there was any other day. They would gather it and it would keep until the next day. It was a miracle. Amen. I don't know. You know, it's amazing how people try and get around things. I actually was in a place one time where they were trying to say that Moses crossed the Reed Sea instead of the Red Sea. And the water was only 3 inches deep. And so it wasn't, you know, really a miracle for the water to part. It was just a minor thing. Maybe the wind blew and just, you know, a ripple or something allowed them to go through. And basically, they just argued and argued with me. And finally, I said, well, praise God, this is a greater miracle than I thought for all of those Egyptians and their horses to drown in 3 inches of water. Amen. But you know what? It was a miracle. God does miracles. Miracles do happen. And the manna was an absolute miracle. As a matter of fact, it says over, I think it's Psalms 106, that man did eat angels' food. I don't know if that was maybe symbolic or metaphor, but it's possible that this was actually angels' food. It certainly was nutritious because it's all they had for 40 years. And they ate this manna. So it was an absolute miracle, but they were in crisis first. They were running out of food. There was no way that they were going to live in the wilderness, in the desert, by planting crops. They could have killed off all of their animals and have eaten them, and they couldn't have sustained themselves for 40 years. They were in a crisis situation, and only in a crisis situation will God suspend natural laws and do something that is supernatural. And so there was a miracle of this angel's food coming, and the children of Israel ate it. But it was temporary. And this is the longest miracle recorded in Scripture. Like when Jesus walked on top of the water, did you know that that was just temporary? He didn't walk on water another time. When Peter walked on the water to go to him, it was very temporary. He never did it again. It was a superseding or a suspension of natural laws for a brief period of time, but Jesus never did it again. When Jesus fed the 5,000 with 5 loaves and 2 fish, he broke it. They took up 12 baskets full of fragments after over 5,000 men, not including women and children, probably 10, 15,000 people ate and were full. They had more left over than when they started. But if you would have gotten one of those pieces of bread that Jesus had broken off after he fed the people, and if you'd have started breaking it, it wouldn't have multiplied. It wasn't a permanent deal. It was temporary. It meant that one situation, and it was over. Miracles are temporary, whereas I'll show you some scriptures that once a blessing is given, it cannot be reversed. You cannot stop it. Once you tap into the blessing of God, nothing can stop it. Boy, that's a major difference right there. Amen. So this is the longest miracle recorded in the Word. But look over in Joshua chapter 5, and I'll show you the end of this miracle. In Joshua chapter 5, this is as they entered the promised land. And in verse 19, Joshua 5:19, it says, "And the children of Israel encamped in Gilgal and kept the Passover on the 14th day of the month at even in the plains of Jericho, and they did eat of the old corn of the land on the morrow after the Passover, unleavened cakes and parched corn in the selfsame day. And the manna ceased on the morrow after they had eaten of the old corn of the land. Neither had the children of Israel manna any more, but they did eat of the fruit of the land of Canaan that year." The manna ceased. This was a 40-year miracle, which was very exceptional. Every other miracle that I can see in the Word, it was just really brief. But this is a 40-year miracle. But it came to an end, and did you know that there isn't manna anymore? That was a superseding a suspension of natural laws. It was something miraculous that happened, but it came to the end. And did you know that every person that entered into the promised land, the Lord, in the 13th chapter of the book of Numbers, sent out spies into the promised land, and they came back and they said, oh, it is a land that flows with milk and honey. In Numbers chapter 13, verse 23, it talks about that they got one cluster of grapes, and it was so big they had to put it on a pole in between two men to carry it. You know, we don't even understand, but back before judgment came upon the nation of Israel, it says it was like the Garden of Eden. One cluster of grapes was so big that two men had to carry it. Could you imagine two men carrying one of our clusters of grapes? This thing was huge. The land was awesome. It was green. It was like the Garden of Eden. It was well watered. It was an awesome place. And they entered into their promised land and they started eating the old corn of the land, the fruit that grew out of the ground. And you know what? It was more abundant than the manna. Matter of fact, it says that the children of Israel got to where they loathed that manna. They hated it. Did you know if you ate the same thing morning, noon, and night for 40 years, you would hate it? I don't care if it was your favorite dish, if it was a steak, if you had to eat steak three meals a day for 40 years, you'd throw that steak in the ground to go get a hot dog if somebody offered you one. People like variety, but you know what? They got tired of the manna, and yet it says some of the people went out to gather the manna after it had ceased, and it wasn't there.
That's all the time we have for today, but be sure and tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on how to receive God's best. This five-part teaching series was recorded at our 2011 Houston Gospel Truth Seminar. It's available on CD or DVD for a gift of any amount. Ask for series R1072 for CD or R3215D for DVD when you make a donation to Andrew Womack Ministries. The second CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request RK163 titled Crisis and Miracles when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. Or you can use the speed and convenience of credit card to make a donation by telephone. Call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour. You can use credit card to order any of our ministry materials online 24 hours a day at www.awmi.net. Remember, your donations to this ministry keep Gospel Truth on this station Monday through Friday.
I'd like to invite you to check out our Charis Bible College online. This is a brand new ministry that we just started at the first of this year. And we now have classes where you can actually get some of the benefits of actually being in a class because you have the interaction of your other students, you have monitors, facilitators that will interact with you, and you have a classroom type setting where you do have to keep pace with the class, but you can do it at any time during the day through the convenience of your home. It's a great way to get the Word of God in your heart. So we are bringing our Bible college to you. Now you have no excuse. Check it out. We have a thing on our website, awmi.net, or you can call 719-635-1111.